Turn, please, if you would, to the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. Get a finger there, and then go to Acts chapter 4. Finger in Matthew 7, and also turn to Acts chapter 4. I'd like to read Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Matthew 7. My text will be verse 13 and 14. We realize that most often a task may be accomplished in a variety of ways. Anyone who is married knows that most things can be done in at least two ways, her way and his way. And just because the method is different, that does not mean that it is wrong. Yet we also must concede that some ways are better than other ways. Just look at a map of this city. And if you would wish to go downtown, well, there are endless possibilities, are there not? But not all routes would be suitable. Most would be cumbersome. And depending on the time of day and which day it is, the best path may not be, at least at that time, the best. Well, some folk try to view religion that way. That God in heaven is some sort of destination. Some think that there are many ways to reach God. For them, it really does not matter which road you take, just as long as you get there. Well, such thoughts are sweet and comforting, but they aren't true. In the biblical perspective, there are only two roads for life and living. Only one of those roads extend unto God, heaven, and eternal life. So although I may be viewed as intolerant or narrow or discriminatory, I have the authority of the Word of God to say what I just said. And dear friends, there is only one way to access God and to receive the forgiveness of sins. And I intend to prove that to you today out of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, verse 14 we'll read after we pray. Father, we thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. Bless those who are not able to be with us due to sickness and providential hindrance. Lord, meet those needs. But Lord, we come today to honor you in spirit and in truth. So bless your word as it goes out to our hearts today. We pray if there's any in our midst that are lost, that you'd be pleased to convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus Christ, grant repentance and faith that they might be saved today. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation that we have and give you the honor and the glory. And so we just commit this time to you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is, "Which Road Are You Traveling?" Which road are you traveling? Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Which road are you traveling today? I would like to offer you some beginning thoughts, and then we will take these two verses apart a bit at a time. But as we think about that which we've read, and I submit unto you, first of all, that there are two ways that are defined and only two ways. The Bible doesn't give us a third or a fourth. There are only two ways, and we just read about them. Secondly, it is either or. You cannot do both at the same time. You can't be on both roads at the same time. It's either one or the other. And the third aspect, the final destinations, as we looked into our verses, and we'll repeat that a little later on, but the final destinations are diametrically opposite. They are not near each other. They're not beside each other. They're not behind each other. They are complete opposites, 180 degrees. One is one thing, one is the other. And so we have two paths going to complete opposite directions and destinations, if you will. And then number four, realize that both of these roads are traveled. There are travelers on both. Number five, you can leave the broad road, but you cannot leave the narrow. Now, I've heard of a few say that they thought that they could leave the narrow, and I've never met anybody that would like to leave the narrow. But the truth of the matter is, if you are on the narrow road, you cannot leave that narrow road. Neither do you want to leave that narrow road. But you can be on a broad road, and you can leave that road. So you can leave the one, but you cannot leave the other. And by the way, if you're on a broad road today, I want to encourage you to get off of that road. And we'll talk about that as we continue with the message this morning. And so then number six, I want to remind you that all men travel one or both of these roads. All men will travel one or both of these roads. And that leads me to my last point as we begin this thinking upon this text, and that is all men begin on the broad road. When you were born into this world, when you came into this life, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, you were born on the broad road. And you're traveling the broad road. Now, I said just a moment ago that there are some that will leave the broad road and will travel both roads. That is, they started on the broad road, they'll leave the broad road, and they'll be on the narrow road. And those who are on the narrow road are those who are saved, those who've been forgiven of their sins and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Again, we'll talk about that as we go through. But all men begin on the broad road. And it behooves you then to seek God's grace and His mercy, to get off the broad road and to be put onto the narrow road. And so those are a few beginning thoughts that I wanted to mention, but let's look into our text today. And the first thing I bring to your attention are the gates. The gates. Here in chapter 7, book of Matthew, and in verse 13, the first part of the verse, it talks about enter in at the straight gate. But pick it up in verse 14, because straight is the gate. There are two gates, the Scripture tells us. And the first one is the straight gate. Now you say, I don't understand that word straight. And the King James might be a little bit cumbersome for you here at this point. But this word means simply to be narrow. It is a narrow gate. It is a thin entrance, if I may express it that way. A narrow gate. But the other gate, in contrast to this straight gate, you'll also find in verse 13, the last part of the verse, where it says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and so wide is the gate. So you have this wide gate. That word wide means exactly that. It is a broad way. It is a large street. It comes from a main Greek root word, which means broad or wide. So when we look into the text, we find that there are two gates. There is a straight gate or a narrow gate, and then there is a broad gate, a very wide gate. Now, I know that this is not a perfect illustration, but let me offer you this illustration in thinking about these two types of gates. If you go to an amusement park, you will find that when you get onto the park property, they have big, wide gates. And when you leave the parking lot, you come in, and they're just big, wide, open arches, and you can just all pass through and go through those wide gates, and many people can pass at the same time. But as you get further to the real gates of the park, before you can actually enter in to enjoy all the rides and the cotton candy and all the kinds of things that you might enjoy in a park like that, well, when you get to the real gate, you find that it is a very narrow gate. And only one can pass through at a time. As a matter of fact, in these things, they've got turnstiles, and only one person can go through the turnstile at a time. And so the gates are very narrow. There's not a multiple people that can just pass through into one simple gate, but they have it divided into little gates at the amusement parks, but only one can go through. And so I trust that you see the distinction there. You find the very wide gates, and you might have 20 or 30 people abreast walking through this archway. But boy, when you get up to the real gate and you start to enter in, you get in a line and you get in one and you go through one. That's just the way it is. And so we have the Scripture telling us about these two gates, a narrow gate and a broad gate. Now, I'd like for you to keep in mind, you say, well, there are many paths up to that gate of heaven, and the gates, but the gates are still narrow. Now, I don't believe that there are many paths to heaven to begin with. I think we read in the text that there's only one way to heaven. But if you would say, no, there are many paths, problem is when you still get up there, you still have the straight gate or the narrow gate. And if I may continue with the application of the illustration, and only the right ticket's going to get you in. And so even if you should get to the gate and you have the wrong ticket, as it were, you're not going to get in. Now, I don't think for a moment, as you see the cartoons depicted of St. Peter at the gate, you know, and everybody's in line and he's asking them a question about what they need to do to get into heaven. And I won't get into all the jokes that you can hear and all about that. I don't think that's the case. But what Jesus is teaching to these people is that all men are traveling. And there are only two gates to deal with. One is a wide gate, one is a narrow gate. Looking then in the passage, we find that there's also the matter of the pathway, or the roads, if you will. We look into the text in verse 14, the last part of the verse, where it says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There is a narrow way. There's only two ways. One of them is narrow. That word narrow comes from a Greek word which means to squeeze or to press. And so this road has been squeezed upon. It has been narrowed. And so this is a narrow road. That's just the way it is. It's a thin road. And, of course, that's in contrast to the second pathway, which is the broad way. Verse 13, once again, wide is the gate and broad is the way. Broad is the way which leads to destruction. And, of course, this word broad means that. It's spacious. It's that which is broad, that which is very wide. Now, what you'll need to understand, and I think we all comprehend, that the pathway to the gate is consistent with the type of gate. In other words, the broad way leads to a broad gate. The narrow way leads to a narrow gate. That's just the way it's described in the passage. And so we find there are two gates with two pathways, and you don't find a broad path leading to a narrow gate. You find a broad path leading to a broad gate, and you find a narrow path leading to the narrow gate. And again, this is not the perfect illustration, but if you would, in contrast and consideration and vision, if you will, the Old West. And so imagine you're going out there on your old Conestoga wagon, and you're going out through the plain there, and up ahead you see this mounding horizon up there. And you come toward that horizon, you see all the Indians all across the horizon. You know, you get a little bit afraid because of the Indians, but it's stretched as far as the eye can see. That's a broad path. That's a very spacious path, is it not? Well, you can compare that to while you're going along and you're going down through the mountain pass, perhaps down through the river valley, and you go down there and you get to one of those passes. And there you have the jagged rocks on both sides, and you know, the trails come down to this just little tiny path, and just barely wide enough for your Conestoga wagon to get through. And you couldn't hardly get two or three horses abreast across that, but it's a very narrow path, and the rocks are on both sides. Well, you know the difference, do you not, when you consider a great, big, broad, spacious area and a very narrow, constricted path? The Bible tells us that there are two gates and there are two ways, and one is a broad way which leads to a broad gate, and there is a narrow way which leads to a narrow path. And keep in mind, as we discuss this matter, that the gate and the pathway are practically synonymous. The broad leads to the broad, and the narrow leads to the narrow. That's what we find in the text. Now, what else do we find in this passage? We also find the destinations. There are two destinations. In verse 14, again, at the latter part of the text, he talks about the straight gate, and narrow is the way, he said, which leadeth unto life. Which leadeth unto life. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 21. Are you interested in spiritual life, my friend? I trust that you understand that as a person born in this world, you're born a sinner. You're born dead in trespasses and sins. You're away from God, alienated from God. You're not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You're lost, you're undone, you're headed to a devil's hell. Very frankly, I'll just tell you ahead of time, you're on the broad road and you're headed to destruction. And so what we find is that you need to have a concern about life and spiritual life. Do you care about heaven? Do you desire to go to heaven, to be forgiven of your sin, to have a presence in the be in the presence of God? Revelation chapter 21, where I've invited you to turn, we have a brief description here. There are other descriptions in the Scripture about heaven, but verse 3, verse 4, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." What do you think of when you think about heaven? You might think of some things like that, but I'll tell you, the greatest thing of heaven is being in the presence of God, pure and holy and clean, through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, through His shed blood and the provision which He has made. To be in God's presence. He will dwell with them. That's eternal life, the Scripture says. And we read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My friend today, do you have any concern about heaven? Do you have any concern about life? Well, I want you to know that there's only two destinations, and one of them is life. The other one, however, when we look into our passage, and keep a finger there in Revelation 21, because I'm coming back to 20. Back in our text, we read that there's a matter of destruction. One road going the broad path to a broad gate. Where does it lead? Verse 13, the last part of that verse, this broad way that leads to destruction. Destruction. What is that, my friend? I believe that's spiritual death, that's spiritual destruction, that's punishment from the presence of God. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 down through verse 15 talks about the great white throne judgment. We'll not read all those verses. You can read that in your own, but every man who's lost will give an account before God one of these days at this great white throne judgment. But we read in verse 14 where it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You say, "Preacher, do you really believe that there's a hell?" I do. "Do you believe it's literal?" I do. "Do you believe that's going to be a place where God will cast those who are lost?" I do. I really believe that the Bible is true and the Bible teaches these things. You go back to our passage and Jesus draws a distinction about two gates and two ways, and there are two destinations. And the narrow way leads to a narrow gate which leads to life. And the broad way leads to a broad gate which the Bible tells us leads to destruction. Destruction. Now notice back in our passage again in Matthew chapter 7. There are a couple other items we want to notice. First of all, keep in mind those who commute. Who are on these paths? Well, in verse 14, the last part of the verse, a sad commentary, it says, "And few there be that find it." Yes, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. It leads unto life, but few there be that find it. How sad. In verse 13, the last part of that verse, it says that broad is the gate, broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Are people traveling these roads? Absolutely. How many are on these roads? Well, I can't give you a numerical number. I have no idea about that. But I do have a general description here. The Bible tells us it's on the narrow way. There are few. There are few. In contrast to the masses, there are a few that are on the narrow way headed to life. But that means, what about the balance? What about the other people? Where are they? They're on that broad road. That's why it's a broad road. That's why it needs to be broad, because many there be that are on that road. And they're traveling the broad road. And so we recognize the conclusion is very clear within our text that there are people who are traveling the broad road. There are many, many people doing that. It's a very easy path. It's the path of less resistance and there's less restraint. But there are a few, by God's grace, there are a few who are traveling the narrow path. And that narrow path, by the way, is solely found in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. We tried to make that very, very clear. So the comparison is, a group of travelers is very simple. There will be more people in hell than there will be in heaven. And that is a sad commentary. But it's true. The Bible tells us that few will enter into life. You say, but there might be millions. Yeah, but how many untold millions are not there? You see? Many there be which go in thereat. Many choose destruction. And you see that all the time when you talk to people, when you witness to people in our society. Very few people are interested in the ways of God and repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not interested in the Bible. And they think you're crazy. They think you're just loony. My friend, they think you're nuts because you're on a narrow way and you're trying to share with them about heaven and eternal life. They're just not interested. They like the broad path. They like the broad way. And it's comfortable to them. And so we find that when we look at these destinations and we look at the paths and we look at the gates and we look at those who are on those roads, we find it's a very disparaging commentary upon the lot of men. But notice then in verse 13, I would like to submit unto you, because we see these elements that make up these roads and the gates and the destinations and all. But look at the first part of verse 13. We find the encouragement. The encouragement. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, Jesus says, as he begins this statement, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Enter ye in. This is a command, by the way. You might not read it as such in the King James, but this is a command. You enter in. You're commanded to enter in at the straight gate. And of course, the word and the thought behind the words enter in means to come in, to enter in, is to be placed in or to put into. You are to enter in the straight gate. Now, what if you don't do that? What if you choose not to enter in at the straight gate? What if you reject the Scripture and reject the truth? And well, let me just submit unto you, there are five things I want to mention unto you in the negative, that if you will not respond, if you will not enter in at the straight gate, number one, then you refuse the command. Now, you've been commanded. I worked with a guy years ago that I'd witness to him and share the gospel with him. We'd have Bible study at lunchtime. And he was lost as a goose in a windstorm. But I did my best to witness to him and to share the gospel with him and tell him. And he said, well, you know, if the Bible ever told me to repent, I'd do it. So I flipped over to Acts chapter 17. And it says, where God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God commands you to repent. He still wouldn't believe it. Now, he said he would, but then he didn't want to do it. So he's refusing the command. Dear lost person, God's commanded you to repent. God's commanded you to enter in at the straight gate. It's the command of God. And yet, as you've done all your life, you still reject Him and you still disobey Him. To not enter in is to refuse the command. Number two, it is to deny the encouragement. I think the command demonstrates the opportunity and God saying, you need to enter in. To not do so is to deny the encouragement. Number three, it is to remain in the status quo. Status quo is what everybody's doing. And I know kids, they like to do this. Well, everybody's doing it. And I don't know about you, but my parents always said, well, if they went and jumped off a bridge, would you? Well, that didn't work out so well because some of those people jumped off the bridges into the rivers to, you know, go swimming. That's what we did, you know. So jumping off bridges, you can't use that anymore. But the thing is, everybody's doing it. That's not it's a status quo. It's just the going thing. If you will stay on that broad path, you remain in the status quo. Yeah, you're just going along with the flow, and that's the way it's going to be. But God doesn't say that. God commands you to leave, to get onto the narrow path. And if you will not, then number four, then you're not going to get on the narrow path. You're not going to respond to God's command. Then you reject eternal life. Where does the narrow road lead? The narrow road leads to life. And if you will remain on the broad road, where will you go? You will go to destruction. It's as simple as that. But then the last thing is this, I submit unto you in denying the command of God, is that, you're just following the crowd. And I think that's an easy thing to do in our society. It's hard to go against the grain. It's hard to go against the crowd. And you think that you're pretty tough and you think that you're pretty strong. Wait till all the crowd turns against you. And you'll find out how fast what you're made of. And you know why some people won't respond to the call of God? Because they don't want to stand against the crowd. They don't want to lose their friends. They don't want to lose their job. They don't want to offend their family. On and on and on. They just want to stay with the crowd. It's just easier for them to stay with the crowd. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, but all these people are on the broad road headed to destruction, and they're not leaving anytime soon. Now you might be asking the question, well, how is it you can leave? And of course, you know, I'm going to give you a biblical response on how you can leave the broad road to the narrow road. And hopefully you haven't drawn conclusions that have been wrong, that what I might be saying. What I submit unto you then, I want to give you the means whereby you can change pathways. I talk about responding to the command of God. How is it that you can leave the broad road and head on the narrow road? How is that going to happen? I want to run through a series of verses. You let the Word of God speak to your heart. Go back, if you would, to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Dear lost friend, you need to recognize you're on a broad road lead to destruction, and you ought to desire to get off of that road, and you need to seek God and to turn to Him and cry out to Him for mercy and grace. And here's some verses that will help you respond to God. John chapter 5, first of all, notice verse 24. John 5, 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." What happened? They went from the broad road to the narrow road. Do you know why? Because they heard and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, verse 40. Jesus said, "And you will not come to me that you might have" what? "Life." How are you going to get life? How are you going to get that life that's at that narrow gate? It's only through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "You won't come to me that you might have life." And you that are lost are rejecting Jesus Christ. You're turning away from Jesus Christ. Chapter 6, John 6, 35. Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." And so he uses physical illustrations of hunger and thirst to demonstrate how He's the bread and He's the satisfaction. But it's Jesus Christ, isn't it? Chapter 8, book of John. John 8, 23. He said unto them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you," listen, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." Well, you're on a broad road headed to destruction. How do you get off that road? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall die in your sins. You will still continue that road to destruction. Chapter 10, John 10, verse 9. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture." How are you going to get to heaven? Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. Chapter 11, verse 25. John 11, 25. Jesus said unto Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" One last verse, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Is that offensive? Yes. Is that inclusive? Absolutely. My friend, there's only two destinations. One is life, the other is death. It's heaven or it's hell. There's only two roads and there's only two gates. And my friend, if you do not go by Jesus Christ, you'll never get into the narrow gate, and you'll never be on the narrow road, and you'll never have life. Jesus said, and I believe it with all my heart, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I believe that. Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father but by me." Does that sound like many roads get to God? Does that sound like many pathways, and you can just believe and be sincere and you can slip in? No, no, no. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Let me offer you a few thoughts and I'll draw a very brief conclusion. Number one, the broad road travelers do not have the ability to change pathways. That's the tough part, isn't it? I said, you got to get off on the broad road, get on the narrow road. You don't have that ability. That's a problem. Because you're on the wrong road, and you can't fix it. Sounds like it's fixed, doesn't it? Ah, but listen. Let me follow up with this. Number two, the broad road travelers cannot change whenever they feel like it. You see, we have a society that kind of thinks that salvation is all based up to man. And that, it's just, God casts His vote and the devil casts His vote and you cast the deciding vote. That don't work that way. God is the one that saves a man or a woman. God is the one that convicts the heart, draws an individual, works by the power of the Holy Spirit. And how can we in our own arrogance sit back and say, well, you know what, I know that to be true and I'll just wait till right on my deathbed and I'll just call out to God to save me. Well, one, you may not have a deathbed. And two, you're not the one to decide when it is you leave the broad road to go to the narrow road. Now you have to contemplate that. You see, salvation is of the Lord is what Jonas said. Now that is very true. And so, dear sinner, what you need to recognize is I need to respond when God is working in me, when God is convicting me, when God is drawing me. And if you have an interest in the things of God, you need to respond to that interest, not put it away. Do not think for a moment, I'll just keep putting it off, putting it off, and then, well, I'll just respond when I feel like it. Well, the problem with that is you're not going to want to feel like it. Because the human nature will keep you from that. Your depraved nature will keep you from it. If you have an interest in the things of God, you need to pursue it now. You need to respond to God now. You need to cry out to God now. Because you just can't choose to get off the road and go over to the narrow road anytime you choose. Because one, you can't do that. And you're not going to choose the time when that's going to happen. I would also submit unto you in point number three that broad road travelers, although they are very different, are all alike. I mean, there are sinners of all sorts. And there are varying degrees of corruption, but you know what? They're all alike. They're all on the broad road. They're all headed to the broad gate, and they're all headed to destruction. They've all rejected the truth. They've rejected the command, entering in at the straight gate. Number four, the broad road travelers cannot be boasted against by the narrow road travelers. And so those of you who have been saved by the grace of God, those who are on the narrow road, you say, I've been saved since this certain time in my life, and I know Jesus, And you look at lost people and you go, well, they're just dumb. They haven't been wise enough to get off the narrow broad road to get on the narrow road. And why won't you believe on Christ? And you know, sometimes Christians can become arrogant. And they become conceited. And they think they're somebody better because they're on the narrow road. The only reason I'm on the narrow road is by the grace of God, I'll tell you that. God is the one that came to me. God is the one that convicted me. God is the one that gave me life. God is the one that took me from the broad road and put me on the narrow road. And there's no chance under the sun at all to be looking back at anybody on the broad road and laughing at them saying, well, you should have been smart like me. It wasn't my intelligence. It was God's grace and it was God's mercy. And we need to have compassion upon those people who are on the broad road, not be arrogant against them. And of course, we certainly surmise that the broad road travelers are doomed if they continue on their way undaunted. Dear sinner friend, today you're already on a broad road. You don't have to do anything, go to hell, you're already on the way. You're on a broad road headed to the broad gate that leads to destruction. And you know what? If you continue on that path, that's where you'll be. Because at the end of that journey is that broad gate. And you're going to pass into destruction. We already read about that it's death and hell is cast in the lake of fire. Scripture says it's where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. How in the world then can I get from that broad road to the narrow road? We've already elicited it before you. It's Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. He's the one who came, left heaven, came to earth, took himself a human body, lived a life that was perfect, yet he was killed as a criminal. He was crucified, buried, and risen again. And when he was hanging there on the cross, although countless thousands have been crucified on crosses, when he was hanging on that cross, he was doing something special there. He was bearing the sins of many, the Scripture says. He was dying for his own, and Christ was crucified. So he was a sacrificial lamb. As John said, the Lamb of God, it takes away the sin of the world. And so Jesus was killed. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He has victory over death, victory over the grave. And He gives eternal life to all who had come unto Him. Only Jesus can take you from the broad road and put you on the narrow road. And you say, well, I don't know how to make that happen. You can't make it happen, but what you can do is cry out to God for mercy and say, God, I know your word. I know what you said in your word, and I believe your word, and I want to have forgiveness of sins. I want to have a home in heaven. I want to be right with you. I want you to cleanse me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Would you have mercy upon me? Would you take me from the broad road and put me on the narrow? And dear friend, I believe that if you'll repent, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll give you eternal life. I believe that. Scripture says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. Him that comes to me, I will nowise cast out. And so I believe on the authority of God's Word. If you'll truly repent and believe, as God works in your heart, convicts you, cry out to Him for mercy, He'll take you from the broad road, put you on the narrow road. And it's not because of the decision that you made, but because of His grace and because of His mercy. That's the means of leaving the broad road to go to the narrow. It's all found in Jesus Christ. And so I say to you in closing, what did we read in the text? Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that findeth. Remember the first verse that we read, Acts chapter 4, verse 12? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Which road are you traveling? Are you on the broad road or are you on the narrow road? And the only way to escape that broad road is to turn from that wide path that's before you, the easy path, that which is headed to destruction, and turn to Jesus Christ. He alone can save you from your sin. And if I may follow along with the illustration I started earlier, He alone paid the ticket price for you to enter into heaven. He alone can take you from the broad path and put you on the narrow path and set your feet firm as you reach the narrow gate and life. Salvation is in Jesus alone. Dear sinner, would you repent and believe today? Dear Christian, you say, I've been saved, I know I'm saved. Then rejoice in the salvation that you have. Give God the honor, give Him the glory, because He has taken you from that broad road and put you on the narrow. And you're headed to the narrow gate, and you're headed to life, and it's absolutely guaranteed and absolutely assured. No one leaves the narrow road. He that began a good work in you will complete it till the day thereof. I'm so glad for His grace and mercy. What road are you on? Sinner, would you be saved today? Christian, would you rejoice in the salvation that you have? Let's stand. God, we just commit this time to you today, and we pray that you'd move in every heart according to your will. We pray that you'd convict the lost, draw them, save them today. And may we, who are saved, rejoice in the salvation you've given to us and give you the honor and the glory and the praise, because it's due unto you and to none other. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for putting us on the narrow road to the narrow gate, leading unto life, all through the shed blood of Jesus, your Son. Thank you so much. And we give you the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers 342. 3, 4, 2.